have we made decisions and we didn't use prayer, we didn't get any counsel, we didn't, you know, talk to friends, we didn't pray about it or anything else.
Put it there. Oh, thanks. Is there a camera in it?
Camera's here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's my better side. And how many times we just go, man, I want that, I want to do this, I want to get involved, I want to change jobs, and we don't pray, we don't get counsel, we don't, you know, fast over it, we don't seek scripture. Has anybody been there? Anybody made those decisions? Now, how about the times you did pray? How about the times you did go in for counseling or talk to somebody? Multitude of counselors, there's safety, there's wisdom. What happens if you did that? How about if you did fast? How about if you did seek scripture on a decision that you had to make and God said, here's the green light, let's go, and you get into it and the wheels fall off and it doesn't turn out the way you'd like it to have turned out? What do we do? We say, well, that must not have been God. I must not have been able to interpret the will of God. I must not have been able to see the handwriting on the wall, to see the scripture. There's something wrong. But may I suggest that just because God leads us to a decision, a place, a change of some kind, a move, whatever it may be, and difficulties come, that does not mean that God didn't lead you there. That God did not put you in that position. So I have a little video. And so you can either have me talk faster after the video, or I can skip the video and still talk like a regular northerner. What would you like? You want the video?
Video.
Okay. So, matter of fact, some people are hoping the video takes the rest of the service. So what the video is, we're going to take a look at the situation that the children of Israel found them in when God, through Moses, led them out of Egypt. And desired to bring them up to the promised land. So this is, it was, I think, a decent reenactment of what happened. So I'm just going to go ahead and play the video. Hopefully you can hear the sound here.
Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said,
why have we done this? We have let Israel go from serving us.
So he made ready his chariot and took his people. Also he took 600 choice chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt were captains over every one of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went after boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, carrying by the sea inside five Hira, four bales of water. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by storms, tremble that night, made the sea in the burning, waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left.
Obviously, a little bit of dramatization there, but an incredible event, right? An incredible event. And stop and think about what preceded that. What was the major reason that God wanted Israel out of Egypt? What would you say is the overall major reason? Yeah, to worship Him. God says, you're not able to worship me the way you should while you're in Egypt, so I want to pull you out of here. And so what did God do to help Pharaoh make that decision? Anybody remember? The 10 plagues. And of course, the last one was probably the most difficult for Pharaoh to handle, the losing of his firstborn, his eldest son. And so because of that, Pharaoh decides, you guys got to get out of here and leave. And so everything looks great, doesn't it? God brings these plagues that demonstrates his power, not only to Egypt, but to his own people. They got a chance to see. Some of the plagues were for everybody. Some were just on the Egyptians. And those that obeyed and put the blood on the lintel of their door, the death angel passed over, and they did not lose their eldest child. So Israel got to see the power of God as well there. And everything looks great. And then God leads them out. And so this is just to give you a kind of a backup overview of the area. Israel on the right, the top right there. Sinai Peninsula, middle, Egypt, and on the left. And of course, they're coming from an area right around in here, and they're taking off and they're escaping, and everything looks good, doesn't it? The fact that they're able to get out of Egypt, they now see that God wants them to be a separate nation, wants them to, you know, worship him. So let me ask you this. Some of you in here have taken some of those blessed summer trips with your family, right? So if you had to go from here to here, which way would you go? Which way would you go? True, east. A little more particular on the map. Here, let me focus in a little bit. Wouldn't you go up along this way? Yeah. Right? This is the coast. What's along the coast? Great fish restaurants, okay? Yep. Great seafood restaurants are going to be along. Guess what? There's probably, it's more populated along the coast, right? Means more Starbucks, more Dunkin's, more Tim Hortons. Everything you need. You know, I bet you're going to find better hotels, restaurants right along here, because that's prime property, correct? So why doesn't God know that? Why does God take them all the way down there? Could be. There may have been a Goodwill, maybe a Dollar General down there that they couldn't afford the rent. Yes. Okay, middle of the desert and mountains, probably not too much. What grade are you in?
Third.
Okay, took him a minute. Let's see, how many years did I spend in second? So you'll get some geography as you get through some other years of school here. So wouldn't we humanly punch in the GPS and hope it would take us along the coastline?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
And God led them down there. And you say, well, are you sure God, well, pillar of fire at night and a cloudy pillar during the day, I'm pretty sure God led them. So where we say we need prayer, we need counsel, we need fasting, we need scriptures, we need, you know, direction from God, they had direction from God, and God still led them into a trap. God led them into a trap. So, but God led me. So let's look at some questions here that all of us would probably raise if something in our life that we had scripture, we had counsel, we had direction from God, and we end up in a situation where this doesn't look too good, right? We would probably question why, how did we get here? How did we get to that point? But God led me, and we'll see that here. So first of all, why would God lead them in the trap? We're actually going to hold that question. We're going to look at that one last. We're going to answer that one last. So let's look at the second one. How did the people respond to this? Now, go ahead and open up your Bibles, Exodus chapter 14. Pastor Asquith said this was good water. He tested it himself, so maybe it'll cause me to stop using the NIV. I'm only kidding, brother, okay? All right. So, everybody, I'm only kidding, okay? And let me just say this about your pastor. Maybe I can't say it publicly. Brother Sam told me he met your pastor and Mrs. Asquith up at Calvary Bible when they had their King James night there. I brought Sam and another athlete with us for the night that Pastor Asquith spoke. Afterwards, Sam said to me, if you go to his church, I want to go with you. So your pastor was a blessing to our ministry in that way already. So let's take a look at, and the voice that you heard in the background of the video was actually someone reading Exodus 14. So we're not going to take our time to read the whole chapter. But let's take a look here in verse 10, 11, and 12. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. So how did they respond to this situation where they feel trapped. Remember, the picture here is probably a little bit more like the terrain. I know they showed them walking down a steep cliff to get into the Red Sea. I think the terrain was more like this, where, let me back it up, might be a better picture, where you've got mountainous terrain on each side of you, and you come out, and it looks like this area here has been built up over the years. There's buildings and stuff. So you come out of this mountainous terrain. You can't go to the right. You can't go to the left. You can't back up. The Egyptian army's behind you, and you're looking at the Red Sea in front of you. And that's where they could feel like they're trapped. So how did the people respond?
Grumbling.
Huh?
Grumbling.
Grumbling. Who did they blame? Moses. So, Pastor, who led them there? God did. And who got it in the neck? Moses. So just realize at some point, you're going to make a decision you know God wanted you to make, and somebody's going to want to die back in Egypt. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's why you hire associates, because you blame them. All right? So I know, I was an associate pastor for almost 25 years. So what happened, Gary? What? I wasn't even there. How did I get blamed? All right, so what did they do? How did they respond? This is not the will of God. Look, Moses, you should have listened to, remember, what moved God to bring them out of Egypt at that time? They were complaining about the hard bondage and the difficulties they had. Where? In Egypt, which is a picture of what? The world. Just like how many of us had some adversity in our lives before we were saved that the world treated us terribly, and we said, I'm pretty sure God can do better, and we start turning our hearts to the Lord and get saved. So they're in Egypt, they're complaining about how they're being treated, and now God brings them out here and there's a challenge, and they blame their leadership. So what was Moses' message? Let's look in verse 13 and 14. What was Moses' message? And let me just say this. They said it's better to die in Egypt than to be out here in the wilderness. You know what? I don't have a death wish. I actually did the speed limit coming down, you know, all these curvy roads and everything else. I don't have a death wish, but I'd rather die in the will of God than die in the world.
Amen.
The life that they had been treated to and how they had to live back in Egypt, and they said it's better for us to die there than to die in the wilderness following God. That's the decision that we often make and head for the comfort, the easy decision, the one that's going to bring us the least amount of challenge, because we think it's better to die in Egypt than out in the wilderness. No, if God is in the wilderness, it's better to die with him.
Amen.
Than to go back to the world and live a comfortable life. And guess what? You're still going to die. You're still going to die. So what was Moses' message? Verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So how would you sum up in two words Moses' message to the people?
Watch this.
Okay, now that's a New York driver in snow. Hold my coffee, I'll take care of this 360-degree spin. Whoop. What's that?
Look out.
Look out. Now, there's two words in the verse. Two words. How would you sum up Moses' message to the people?
Fear not.
Fear not. And what else?
Stand still.
Stand still. You know what? Unplug the device and just let God minister to you.
Amen.
Unplug all the electronics and just let God minister to you.
Amen.
Stand still. Do you know why God instituted a Sabbath? Because we have no clue how to stand still. And today our pace is faster than ever.
Right.
We're going absolutely crazy. We have all the time-saving devices and have no time for God. I thought we were supposed to have saved all this time with all these devices, and we still say we don't have time for God. Stand still. You run into a situation that, man, you're wondering, how in the world did I get here? Before you panic and call Dr. Phil, Just stand still and let God do his thing. Just a reminder, 1 Samuel 12:7. Now therefore, stand still. Job 37:14. Hearken to this, O Job, stand still. Psalms 4:4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know what? That I am God. Isaiah 30:7. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now, parents, that's a great one in childbearing. Okay, we're going to follow Scripture. You're going to sit still. Okay? So, what is God saying in all those verses? Chill. Sorry, I'm hanging with the college guys. So, how was the event this week? Oh, it was chill. Okay. Could I get some more details? Like, chill. Was it cold? No, it was like 85. So, you know what God says? Chill. Stand still. And I'm not trying to be irreverent, but let God do his thing.
Amen.
God is working this whole thing out, and we get all panicky and we get nervous, and we're gonna call this advisor, we're gonna talk to this, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, and God just says, stand still. Stand still. So now, what were God's instructions? Look at verse 15 and 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So if you had to sum up God's instruction, what did he say?
Go forward.
Go forward. Go forward. Now, there may be a little bit of a prod or a push there for Moses to get moving, but I don't think this is diametrically opposed to the advice that Moses gave us, stand still. Can you have peace in your heart and have a stillness and a quietness in your heart while you're still moving? Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I think what Moses did is he I can't do it. He's got that whistle you can hear through the whole stadium. You know, type of thing. I think Moses is saying that. Everybody just stand still. Chill out. Let's relax and give God a chance to do something. And then God says, now let's go forward. Let's move. See, because, you know, it's like, how are you doing with the job search? Oh, great. I'm praying about it. Oh, good. Did you put any resumes in? No. Did you, fill out an application? No. Did you call anybody that runs a business down in South Carolina that put all his eggs in one basket? Did you call him and ask for a job? No. Okay. Standing still is the peace of God in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward is putting feet to your faith.
Amen.
And that's what God is saying to them here. There may be a little push there to Moses, but I believe what God is saying, it is time to go forward. Have you ever thought about this? The armor of God. What are the two parts of your body that are not protected by the armor of God? I'm communicating with my new protege here, so. Your what?
Hands back.
Your back? Hands are, they usually had the full gloves there, especially in the hockey team. And what else is not protected by the armor of God? Shins. Feet are protected by the preparation of the gospel. Your shins and your back. You know how you protect your shins? You pray. You stand still. You stand still and you pray. Do you know how you protect your back? You go forward. You don't turn your back on your enemy.
That's right.
You turn and run from difficulties. You've just exposed a very vital part of your body that is now going to be more vulnerable to attack. So you stand still and you go forward. That's how you face challenges and overcome them. So, now, how did God protect them? How did God protect them? Look at 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but gave light by night to these, the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So, I might need a couple extra minutes. Can we go turn the crock pots down?
Yeah,
I don't want anything to burn. Yeah. Sam was asking.
Yeah.
We fed Sam at our house this morning, and we had to stop for potty break, and he's in line buying more food. So he's wants to make sure everything is fine. So God takes the pillar of fire which led them at night and put it behind them to protect them. During the day, he used the cloudy pillar, and he picked that up during the day and put it between them and the Egyptians. You know when Peter started falling into the water? What happened to Peter? When the Lord Jesus calls him out of the boat and he starts walking on the sea, when was it that Jesus started sinking into the water? Or excuse me, when Peter started sinking in the water? He took his eyes off the Lord.
Amen.
He took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the circumstances and said, there's no way I can get through this. And he starts to sink. And Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. So don't be that guy. Don't be that girl that climbs up the cliffs of the mountains that you're stuck in, took a look around God's protection of the cloudy pillar and the fiery pillar to look at your difficulties chasing you. What do we do? What do? God protects us from the world. He puts this pillar of fire and the cloudy pillar between us and our enemies and the attack that's coming, and we climb up the mountains and we got to look at the enemy. God protects us physically and emotionally when we keep our eyes on Him.
Amen.
When we take our eyes off of Him, that's where we lose the peace of God.
That's right.
And so you climb up, oh, I got to see how many chariots do they have? How many spears? How many soldiers did they bring? What do the horses look like? Oh, I love Palomino. And all of a sudden, you climb up and look around God's protection for you. You're going to lose the peace of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to live in fear. So don't be that person that has to, I just got to investigate the enemy. No, you don't. You just keep your eyes on the Lord, and He will protect you emotionally and physically. So, here, let's get back to our question. Why would God lead them into a trap? Why? This is the situation where we pray. This is the situation where we fast and we get counsel and we're in church and we're reading the scriptures and begging God for direction, and we get it from Him and He leads us right there. And we might say, well, I must not have understood, or there might be some difficulties here. God led them that way for a reason. So I think there's three things that we could learn here. That God knew that the best route had terrible implications. So which way did we all say we wanted to go? Well, shortest.
Amen.
Hey, I want to drive to Iowa. So I'm going to go to Florida, Texas, Arizona. I'm not driving through California anymore. And then I come back around. Stupid, right? So why don't they go just across there? Well, look at this little phrase right here. And take a look at verse 17. And let's go back, if you would, to Exodus 13. Exodus chapter 13. Verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that what? What is that next phrase? That God led them. This is not some, I just don't know what the will of God is. He says, God led them. God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Why? Although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led them about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed or armed out of the land of Egypt. You know what God said? Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to do you any good. God says, yeah, that's the shorter way. That's the way I want in my GPS. It always asks, do you want the shortest way? Do you want the one with tolls? Do you want? No, get me there, okay? I don't want to live my life in a vehicle. Get me there. And that's the way we all probably would have taken. And God led them down in the wilderness because he knew that going that way had greater perils than going down into a desert, into a mountainous region. Hello? Does that make sense? None at all. None at all. Let me read you some verses here. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. I got this, Lord. Look, you're old. You got to be getting tired. 7.5 billion people. I got this. You don't want to take it. You do not want to take the wheel away from God. Yeah, but look at gas prices are cheaper along the coast because of competition. We can fuel the donkeys up much cheap. No, no, no. That's our human reasoning. God led them into the wilderness because he knows going that way would have been worse. Number two, God wanted to provide a bigger, longer lasting victory. Let's go back to chapter 14. Let's go back to chapter 14 and verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart. So Pharaoh goes, man, that was stupid. We just lost all that free labor. We just lost our workforce. They just left. Yeah, I'm ticked about my son. I know what we're going to do. We're going to chase him down. Which way did they go? Perfect. That is wonderful. They're going to be trapped by the mountains and the Red Sea. This is the perfect opportunity to wipe Israel out. And Pharaoh chases them. You know what? Another thought. If they had gone up along the coast, Pharaoh would have said, I don't want to fight with the Philistines. I don't have a battle. Pharaoh wouldn't have chased them if they took the best way. But they took God's way because God wanted a longer, a better, and a longer lasting victory. Now, what was the whole purpose of the plagues? What was the whole reason that God wanted the children of Israel out of Egypt?
Worship.
Worship, okay? Did he accomplish that? Did he get them out of Egypt?
Yes.
But you know what? God wanted to take care of their problem for a long, long, long time, not just one battle. I don't know about you, but having my enemy say, Uncle, I give, I'm not going to attack him, forget it, okay. That's nice. I won that battle. But he's still alive, and he's coming after me. I'm still his enemy. Have you ever noticed how much the world hates Israel?
Mm-hmm.
And he's still their enemy. But if God can lure them into a trap and drown the entire army, two things are going to happen. One, it's going to take decades, maybe hundreds of years, to replace all those soldiers. Right?
Yeah.
Number two, if you're leading Egypt now, and you're thinking, that's not a good idea. Why don't we just let them go, right? We just want a reprieve from the bill. We just want a reprieve from the car repairs. We just want a reprieve from a health situation. We just want a reprieve. And God says, give me a chance. I'm going to take care of your problems and your enemies for a lot longer than this one issue.
Yeah, right.
So he takes his children, leads them into the wilderness and said, I know that Pharaoh will chase them now, and I'm going to wipe out their army, and they won't bother you for a long, long time. You know, you pray, you're praying about something. I'll try to stay in front of the camera. You're praying about something, and God says, hey, I've heard your prayers. I want you to know I'm going to do exceedingly on your behalf. I mean, that's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then you're praying another time, and God says, I'm going to do abundantly on your behalf, right? You're pumped. God is really getting involved with this prayer and this situation. But what about when God says, I'm going to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think? You know what that is? That's God drowning your enemies in the Red Sea, going the most unlikely way because he wants to give you a greater and a longer lasting
life. Amen. Amen.
You think about God saying, I'm going to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. That's the victory I want. And sometimes it comes through a Red Sea experience and not just the miracle of missing the issue or the problem. Last point. People are watching. Who do you want them to give the glory to? Let's go back, Exodus 14, verse 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Whether it's Rahab the harlot or Nebuchadnezzar the king, God wants people to see him.
Nice.
So that problem that looks so insurmountable, mountains on both sides of you, the Red Sea in front of you, and you don't have a navy, and the Egyptian army behind you, God says, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get done, no one will say, Pastor Hain did it. No one will say, my little scholar here in the second to last row did it. No one will say anybody handled that problem except who? The Lord.
Amen.
And don't we want them to see him as the solution of their problems and not us or someone else?
Amen.
So God led them out there and put them in a position that only God could solve, so that he would get the honor and glory. Seeking to understand will bring frustration. Seek that God would get the glory from our Red Sea challenges. Buying some possession and you're having a challenge with it, stand still and go forward. Your position at work is tenuous and you're having challenges with it, stand still and go forward. Entering into a relationship and you're having challenges with it, stand still and go forward. Moving and you're having challenges with it, stand still and go forward. Changing jobs and you're having challenges with it, stand still and go forward. No matter what kind of Red Sea you are up against, stand still and go forward. Pastor?
Thank you, Brother Gary. Very thought-provoking, very practical. Right out of scriptures. We're going to close our service by singing page 349. Page 349. The title of the song, I Am Resolved. As the ladies go and get things ready for us to share together for the noon meal. Page 349, I Am Resolved. Would you stand, please, to sing?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad.
Jesus, greatest I.